Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, the wellness industry is a billion-dollar industry. And while there's modern-day spins on the wellness industry, you know, things like podcasts and influencers, the wellness industry is as old as time. The ancient philosophers debated wellness, and they came up with three foundational principles in order for humans to find wellness: truth, goodness, and beauty. Perhaps you've heard of them. And the reason why the ancient philosophers said that we need to understand truth, goodness, and beauty for wellness is because a right understanding of truth, goodness, and beauty helps us connect with the divine. Now, it's at this point where ancient philosophy and more modern-day wellness programs diverge. Yeah, you see, the ancient philosophers, they did believe in transcendent owls. Remember the transcendentals? That's what the truth, goodness, and beauty are called. Today, we tend to believe in inner owls. And yes, I just made up that word, so let me explain. Transcendence simply means above or outside of. And so for the ancient philosophers, they believed that in order to find wellness, in order to find human flourishing, we needed to look outside ourselves, above ourselves, for truth, beauty, and goodness. But today, we tend to think, no, we need to look within ourselves, and then we will discover truth and goodness and beauty. This is how C.S. Lewis put it in his book, The Abolition of Man. It's decades old now. I think it should be primary reading for every high schooler over every year of high school. The Abolition of Man, C.S. Lewis. For the wise of old, the cardinal problem had been how to conform the soul to reality, and the solution had been knowledge, self-discipline, and virtue. For applied science, or today what we might call technology, the problem is how to subdue reality to our wishes. The solution is a technique. Here's what ancient philosophers like Plato and even modern philosophers like C.S. Lewis are all saying. One of the core drivers, if not the core driver, of what it is to be human is the quest for wellness. We have this inner longing for truth and goodness and beauty. Now, we used to begin that quest by looking outside ourselves for real truth, goodness, and beauty, and then try to conform ourselves to that reality. Today, we define reality by looking within ourselves, and then we want to conform that reality through techniques and therapy by getting what we want. But note what's common between both ancient and modern. This quest, this running after wellness. We long to have truth, goodness, and beauty. We want to be well. And my favorite quote when it comes to this desire, to this quote, it comes from Blaise Pascal. Blaise wrote this: "All men, all people seek happiness. This is without exception. Whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end. The cause of some going to war and others avoiding it is the same desire attended with different views. The will never takes the least step but to this object of happiness. This is the motive of every action, of every purpose." Pascal cuts to the core. We all search for happiness. Today we're going to see that Pascal was right, because there is a transcendent. there is a divine. There is a reality outside of us. You see, we either believe that there is a God, that there is a spiritual reality, or we don't. What the ancient philosophers, non-Christian, mind you, believed, as well as many non-Christian philosophers today, is that there must be something outside of us which determines where and how to find happiness. For the Christian, reality equals God. God existed before time. He made our universe, which means God made you. God designed you. And so if you, just at a pragmatic level, if you want to seek wellness, God's a great place to start. He made you, He designed you. But it's more than pragmatics. It's better than pragmatics. Today we're going to hear that the God who made you and designed you actually designed you to be well, to be happy, to be full of joy. Last week we learned about the importance of discovering Jesus. This week we're going to hear from Jesus. And he's going to tell us straight up, Jesus wants you to experience joy, full joy. Which is why I've titled this sermon, Discover Life. You see, if you discover Jesus, you will discover life. The life that you long for, the life that you're made for. And so we're going to hear from Jesus by reading a bit of John 15 again and a little bit of John 16. And the first thing we need to know is the original setting of Jesus. And so I've titled the first heading, The Setting. I'm so original. Then we're going to hear a bit more about this joy Jesus is talking about. So our second heading is Full Joy. And finally, we're going to see that the joy Jesus is talking about is better than the joy we often settle for. And so the setting, full joy, better joy, that's where we're headed. Firstly, the setting. Jesus' adult ministry only lasted 3 years. That's extraordinary, isn't it? He is the most influential person of history, and yet his ministry only lasted 3 years. During his earthly ministry, Jesus gathered a cohort of 12 men, and today we call those 12 men disciples, the original disciples. And one of those original was called John. And John wrote this passage that I'm reading from. John chapters 13 to 17 are famously called Jesus' final discourse. Jesus knew he was about to be killed by the religious leaders. And so Jesus gathered the 12 for a final meal and training session. These are Jesus' final words. They are important words. And so it'd be good for you to have a Bible open. Got it open? John 15. John 15. I'm going to read verses 9 to 11 again. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Jesus told his disciples that he was about to leave. And that greatly upset the disciples. And so most of Jesus' words in John chapter 13 to 17 are encouraging the disciples. And note how Jesus encouraged the disciples by pointing out that Jesus loved them with the same love with which the Father loved Jesus. Listen. If your quest for wellness does not take you to the origin to the beginning, to the core of all that is true and good and beautiful, you'll end up chasing program after program, diet after diet, supplement after supplement, influencer after influencer, and here is why. There is a love that is true and good and beautiful. It's the love that has always existed within God. The love you long for is the love that has always existed within God. I've had the joy of raising four children. And one of the jobs of a parent is to help their children do hard things, face battles, get out into the real world. And so there's lots of training, there's lots of teaching. But perhaps the best tool in the toolkit for parenting is nurturing. And I think the best nurturing line is, it's going to be okay. No matter what happens, I love you. Imagine the God who made you, putting his arm around you and saying, it's going to be okay. No matter what happens, I love you. Friends, discover Jesus and you will discover life. Okay, that was the setting. Now we're going to look at what Jesus had to say about joy. And it's not just joy, it is full joy that Jesus talks about. I'm going to read verses 10 and 11 again so you hear it from Jesus. If you keep my commandments, so yep, Jesus is talking about us doing something. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. You know, we're starting to recognize that achieving more, doing more, learning more often doesn't lead to wellness. And more we're waking up to the fact that online community on our smartphones isn't always smart. Gen Zers apparently are starting to meet in parks, gathering together for app deletes, getting rid of app deletes. Some are even just ditching the smartphone altogether for analog phones. Meta is doing its best to digitally connect us to a metaverse, but more and more young people are recognizing the beauty and wonder of real nature over digital. There's a growing interest in hands-on, tactile, outdoor experiences. A slowing down interest rather than a relentless pursuit of progress and more. There's a growing interest in the spiritual. Maybe you've said this, and my guess is at least all of us have heard our friends say this. I'm spiritual, just not religious. And there's a very real, very fundamental sense in which Jesus affirms the spiritual, not religious tagline. Let me explain. For a long time, we've been taught that the spiritual is opposite to real. We've been taught that the spiritual and magic belong over here for, those sort of people. But the real and the science, they belong over here for us smart people. And yet here we are in 2026, yearning, longing, searching for something more than facts and figures and outputs and achievement. The wellness industry is huge. The hunger for something spiritual is growing. And here's why. The opposite of spiritual is not reality. Like, spiritual and reality are not enemies. No, the opposite of spiritual is physical. And here's the kicker. Both physical and spiritual are real. The spiritual is just as real as the physical. You see, God is real. And if you accept that, and I hope you will, you'll also have to accept that you do not get any more real than God. Therefore, if we really want to explore truth and goodness and beauty, if we really want a wellness program, if we really want an influencer, surely we want to listen to Jesus. And how much more so when we hear Jesus say, He wants to give us full joy. Jesus didn't come to set up a religious institution where followers do certain religious things, give a certain amount of money, help a certain amount of widows and orphans, read a certain amount of ancient writings, and pray with an earnest amount of prayer. Now, sure, we just heard Jesus say he does expect us to keep commandments, didn't we? But he doesn't pit that against joy. You see, the commandments are more like family values. They're not contractual arrangements. For instance, think about the Ten Commandments that God gave to his people 3,000 years ago. The commandments begin with God saying, you will have no other gods besides me. You won't worship anyone else besides me. That's a great family value. My wife does not want me worshiping other women. I do not want her worshiping other men. Another one of the Ten Commandments, do not murder. Isn't that a great family value? The Ten Commandments are not a contractual agreement. You do this, this, and this, and then God says he'll do this, this, and that. No, no, no. The good news of Jesus is, I love you. I died for you. If you put your trust in me, I will show you how to live and find full joy. And so let's move on from full joy to better joy, because it is very tempting right now to mishear Jesus. It's tempting to hear, come to Jesus and you will only experience happiness. That is not what Jesus promises. That's what cult leaders promise. That's what drugs and alcohol promise. That's what gambling promises. Spend for the rest of your life. That's what career or a big house or a flash car or being in the right crowd promise. If you just have me, you will have happiness. Think about the best experience you've ever had. Do you remember that joy? Do you recall the goosebumps? And the racing heart and the elation. And now remember how long it lasted. Your joy had a shelf life. Eventually you had to re-enter real life. When Jesus promises full joy, is Jesus promising no suffering, no pain, no hard? Sort of. And it's very important to understand the qualification. Jesus does promise a future where there will be no more pain, suffering, hard for his followers. But Jesus also promises before that future, there will be suffering, pain, and hard, even for his followers, and sometimes especially for his followers. As we just heard in our prayers this morning, there are Christians around the world for which it costs them their life to follow Jesus. In Australia, there are some organizations that will not hire a Christian. Jesus tells us up front, his followers will be treated just like he was treated. Jesus was despised, mocked, and executed. So, what is Jesus's better joy? It's a joy that is able to absorb our pain, suffering, and hard. This year, I'm taking on a new ministry in our church. It's a new ministry for me. I haven't been in it for over 10 years, which means I'm building a team. Yet there's hard things about stepping in and doing something and building a team. There's a lot of hard. But every time someone says, yes, Steve, I'll join that team, I forget my heart. There is a joy. All of a sudden, teamwork and camaraderie just, wow, this is great. The joy absorbs the heart. Maybe you've experienced this with exercise or with a diet. You know, even hitting a small goal absorbs the heart. Well, Jesus went for a different metaphor to explain his better joy. Jesus went for childbirth. Turn over to chapter 16, verse 16. John 16, verse 16. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. I was present at the birth of our four children, so I am an expert on the pain of childbirth. I'm glad you laughed. If you're visiting, that was Steve tongue-in-cheek. I'm no expert. But I did observe something that billions of mums have confirmed. Something transformative, almost miraculous happens the moment labor gives way to birth. When joy absorbs the pain. But I don't think any woman forgets the anguish. So was Jesus wrong? Was Jesus wrong here? No, we just need to understand what Jesus is doing with the metaphor. Jesus's original audience were his disciples, who would very soon be the leaders of his mission. It's because of these disciples that we're here today. Jesus told his disciples, you are about to go through unimaginable sorrow. But in a couple of days, your intense sorrow will give birth to unimaginable joy. You see, Jesus' going away was going to the cross. Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus dying in our place. At the cross, Jesus did not simply suffer humiliation and torture and death. Jesus also suffered the punishment for our rebellion against God deserves. Jesus gladly put his life in place of your life. And here's the great news. Here's the joy. Jesus is alive. Jesus did die on that cross, dead. And 3 days later, risen, alive. Oh my goodness. Joy. Here's the point. Because of our sin, the road to joy is a road of suffering. And Jesus willingly walked that road in a similar way that every mother puts her life on the line to give birth. So too Jesus. Except with Jesus, he was guaranteed to die. And because Jesus went to the cross, and only because Jesus went to the cross, we can find joy. Jesus had to leave. Jesus had to go to that cross in order to prepare our place with God. This is what Jesus just keeps saying over and over and over again in John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And with all due respect to women, Jesus' death, Jesus' labor was infinitely more painful than childbirth. Jesus suffered hell so that we don't have to. But joy of joys, look at what Jesus' labor gave birth to. The Church of Jesus Christ. Here we are, right around the world today, and he just keeps growing and marching on. Jesus' joy is better joy for two reasons. Firstly, because Jesus is coming back to deliver on his promise to take his followers into a new creation where there will be no more pain, suffering, or hard. But even better than all of that, we will finally be free to walk with our Maker, to not just hear him, but to see him as he says, "I love you." Which brings us to the second reason Jesus' joy is better. Because the Christian's future is better than we can imagine, we are able to absorb all of the sorrow and the pain of hard today. Christians suffer. Christians cry. Christians get angry at corruption and evil. Christians get depressed. But our suffering is like the suffering of a mother in labor. Our suffering is absorbed by a better joy, an enormous joy that makes the suffering of this life seem momentary. If you're here because a friend brought you, if you're here today because of Summerfest and you've heard about who we are and you're coming along to check us out, if you're here today because you've woke up in 2026 and you're just one of those ones seeking the spiritual and you're wanting to discover something more, we are so glad you are here. And the main thing you need to know is that Jesus is better. Better than what I hear you ask. Well, everything. I'm someone who enjoys life. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love this church family that I'm part of. I love catching really big fish. I love Asian food. I love gelato from Scoopia. I love talking about my loves. It's very tempting for me right now to start talking about everything. Like, seriously, you've got to try the gelato, all right? Now, here's the thing. All those loves, all those passions, all those joys only exist because the God who made you, designed you, and the world you live in with a truth and a goodness and a beauty that can only be discovered in Him. You are made by Him and for Him. And when you are with Him, you find full joy. Discover Jesus, and you discover life. These cards that you've been fanning yourself with, I'd love you to take a look at one right now. In just a couple of weeks' time, we're running a course called Discover. If you are still checking out the Christian faith, this is the place to be for you. It's only going to cost you 5 Wednesday nights, a couple of hours. We're going to provide awesome place, awesome food, a setting where you will hear more about Jesus and you can ask any question you want in a way that there won't be any judgment. You're not going to be asked to do anything you don't want to do. It's a place for you to come and discover. This is that new thing I'm taking on this year, and I'm excited for it. I would love to see you there, to be with you. Grab one of these. There's a QR code on the back where you can find more information, and even more importantly, you can register for Discover. The bigger ones are the calendar for our church family. We're all praying for this. We're excited for it. Discover Jesus, and you will discover life. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, you are better than we can imagine. And to know that you're not off in the distance, being all harsh and angry, but you actually want a relationship with the people you made. Father, we thank you, we praise you, all glory be to you. And Father, we pray that you would take our life and use it ever only all for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.